This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Oh yeah, and a little Dino for you, Dean Martin. It is time for Christmas carols, is it not? I think so. We're getting very close. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December 14th. Yes, it is. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Grant Deaver. He's with an organization called FreeOp, and we're going to talk about a breakthrough in nuclear fusion, the ability to get a net energy gain using nuclear fusion. In other words, to increase energy from what you had. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk about it. And Ben Carson, you know him? Used to be the HUD director. His name has been removed from a Detroit high school against the wishes of both the students, apparently, and the teachers there. We're going to find out why that is. And if you go to the Cambridge Dictionary now, they have changed the definition of man and woman. Can you believe it? We're going to tell you what they now say a man and a woman is. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our alternate top 10, how about this? The top 10 cities that people are now moving to. What do you think they are? Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Wow, I'll tell you what, we got a lot of things going on. I can't wait to talk to Grant Deaver. By the way, FreeOp is the acronym for the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. And this thing with fusion and being able to, basically, to be able to create additional energy. And it's pretty exciting. So we'll be talking to him in just a minute. But I'll tell you a little bit about the background on this. U.S. government scientists at a California lab have reportedly made this breakthrough. This is the Lawrence Livermore National Lab. They've achieved a net energy gain in a fusion reaction. Now, they have been working on this, believe it or not, since the 1950s. To harness fusion, now fusion powers the sun also. So they want to be able, if they can harness fusion and actually increase energy, it would be a kind of a clean burning energy as well. No group has been able to produce more energy from the reaction than it consumes, okay? So what goes into fusion normally can only come out as equal or less, but they have been able to find a way to increase it. Now, developing fusion power is still a long way away, but this has implications as we seek to get off fossil fuels, right? Fusion reaction emits zero carbon, and it does not produce any long-lasting radioactive waste either. So, I don't know. It's pretty interesting. In the meantime, President Biden is about to turn 80, and he's reportedly upset about the media's constant coverage of his age. So are they going to hide his birthday? Not going to have his birthday? He just turned 80 last month, as a matter of fact. He's the oldest serving president in U.S. history. And, of course, there have been questions over his fitness. Yesterday, Politico, which is kind of a left-wing news source. They published a story about how eerily quiet, in quotes, eerily quiet, the race is for 2024. He says Republicans largely mum about Trump's already declared candidacy. Meanwhile, Biden has been reluctant to officially announce that he's going to run for re-election, though he has repeatedly said he intends to run. But here's what they're saying. He said, President has vented to his allies about how often his age is brought up in the press. Quote, you think I don't know how effing old I am? It's funny. Ed, is he too old to be president? Or do you think we ought to look forward to another 4 years?
He was too old to be president 20 years ago.
Okay, well, now we got Ed's opinion. Before we go to break, this was something I found this morning. Did you know that the governor of Oregon, has commuted the sentences of all of the death row inmates in the state? Democratic Governor Kate Brown announced yesterday she's computing the sentences of the state's 17 inmates on death row, noting that their sentences will be changed to life in prison without parole. Now, she is set to leave office next month, and they always pull a trick like this as they go out so that they don't suffer the consequences.
Well, I think that she should foot the bill for keeping them fed for the next how many years of their life in prison.
We've talked about this many times. I think anybody, especially the ones that are doing hard time, they need to be working while they're in prison and producing a product, and that product, some of the profit go towards the victims of their crime. I've always been big on private prison, privatizing prisons to begin with. I don't want the taxpayers to fund these people. I think it's a crime.
The thing is, Paul, these people that are on death row are so dangerous, you don't want them anywhere near.
I hear you.
You know, they're constantly under lock and key.
Other people equally as dangerous because if you put them into these kinds of prisons where the same kind of people are around them, you can figure something out. We can do it. I just want them to pay. I don't want them to sit and just do nothing.
Yeah.
Except, like, work on exercise machines or something. You
cable
know what I mean?
Cable TV.
Watch cable TV. Yeah. No. So, anyway, so she's going to commute their sentences. She had said in her first news conference, when she took office 7 years ago, that she would continue the death penalty. That she would continue the death penalty moratorium. All right. So there's been a moratorium. No prisoner in Oregon has been executed in 25 years. So I think she's just kind of capping what they've been delaying anyway, right? Can you imagine waiting for about 17 or 18 or 22 years?
It's ridiculous.
From the time you're found guilty to the time you're executed.
It is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing...
In the good old days, when they found you guilty, the next day you were gone.
It's so bizarre that a person that takes another person's life lives longer, gets to live longer than the person they took their life. It's the same thing with criminals who are beating up people on the street or whatever and getting out of jail before that person gets out of the hospital.
It's horrible. Absolutely.
It's when our penalties don't fit the crimes these days.
No.
And they haven't for a long time.
Now, I know we've got a problem they call it overpopulation, but again, I think it would be solved by privatizing prisons.
We're building everything else. Build more prisons.
Well, if you privatize them, the prisons would actually make a profit on the prisoners. But that's another story for another day. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Grant Deaver of FreeUp and the net gain resulting from nuclear fusion reaction.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Delighted to have Grant Deaver join us. He's with an organization called FreeOp. We're going to talk about this. It probably doesn't get the attention it deserves, but we're apparently able to harness nuclear fusion in such a way that we can actually create energy. I guess that's kind of what it is. Grant, welcome to Freedom Works. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, there you are, Grant. Couldn't hear you. All right, buddy. Welcome to Freedom Works. Before we get into the nuclear fusion breakthrough, I want to ask you about your organization. It's called FreeOp, the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
What is that? What is it all about?
You know, so we're a pro-market think tank that I kind of think of as, basically our focus is pushing forward free market solutions that will substantially benefit the bottom 50% of wealth holders and income earners in America. So essentially everything that we publish gets pulled back to that, but we publish research on a variety of issues from energy to healthcare policy to, housing reform.
Great. So to the layman, can you describe what this thing is about, an advancement, a breakthrough in the production of a nuclear fusion reaction?
Yeah. So we've built these amazing laser facilities. There's several of them in the United States, and essentially they use really powerful lasers to focus energy in extremely small point of a element, a version of hydrogen, and then this kicks off a fusion reaction, which is the power of the sun. And what was impressive at what happened at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory is that the amount of energy that was in that initial reaction resulted in a net gain of about 54% of energy. So we've previously created fusion reactions, but the reaction has generated less energy than was put into it.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of caveat here, this is a huge breakthrough. This is called fusion ignition. But the energy put into putting the energy inside of that reaction was actually much greater than what was produced. So I think that's somewhat missing from what people are talking about. It's not to underplay what happened here, because this is truly a step change in the path toward being able to harness the power of nuclear fusion. But I think that's important context.
Yeah, and it's coming out of the free market. This isn't a government agency that found out how to do this, right?
No, this was funded by the government.
Oh, it was.
It was funded by the government, but it's important. I think this kind of research is important because when you have these achievements and research progress, it does get people interested in funding various ventures and taking a second look at this, whether those are private individuals or corporations. I think actual commercial applications for a lot of this are still out in the future, but this is a very important for humanity's path towards a a much more technologically powered future in all the ways that are really good. You know, cheaper energy, you know, able to just mitigate and solve all the very real tangible problems we face.
Yeah, I mean, so down the road, maybe quite a ways down the road, we're actually going to be able to kind of create more energy. Isn't that what it is? And therefore, because we can create more energy than we maybe started out with, would this not mean that we can continue to have a limitless supply of maybe clean-burning energy, do you think, or what?
Yeah, I think what's so exciting about a breakthrough like this is it allows, you know, it's an opportunity for people to begin to think again in positive sum ways, you know. So as opposed to the solution to everything being, you know, we have to ration this and you can't do that and, you know, kind of closing off possibilities. Instead, we can think about a future where, okay, we have abundance. You know, we can apply human thought and action and ingenuity to solving problems. So, you know, for example, there's a real concern of in various localities there not being enough water. You know, if we had energy too cheap to meter, whether that comes from fusion or even just advancements in nuclear fission, which is already a viable commercial technology, we can desalinate water and transport it to places and use that to, you know, solve all kinds of issues. So energy is just such a critical function, whether you're a household or a business or, you know, even the government. You know, having cheaper energy that's also reliable creates so many opportunities that otherwise don't exist.
Right. We're talking with Grant Deaver. He is with the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. They call it FreeOp. And we're talking about this breakthrough at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in the production of nuclear fusion and a reaction that results in a net energy gain. Now, these days, and your organization, Grant, is, as you say, looking out for free market solutions that help, you know, people on the lower end of the totem pole to some extent. So right now, tough times, speaking of energy and the cost of heating your homes as we get into the colder portion of the winter. And, of course, the cost of gasoline itself. What should we be doing right now to mitigate some of the problems, especially for people that, you know, this is really affecting with their pocketbooks?
Yeah, no, it's certainly a tough time. I think we all experience it in various ways. You know, the problem with a lot of the solutions for reducing costs is it takes a while to ramp up production. So I think we really need to take away from this shock and this struggle that it's important to have kind of good pro-market policy to begin with so that we can expand that capacity. You know, what my research at FreeOp is focused on is essentially trying to make nuclear fission legal and investable, because the regulatory ratchet has really only gone one way with nuclear fission. And because of that overregulation, we've really seen the cost of producing new plants rise by five times what they previously were over the past few decades. And, you know, I personally think that is, you know, building lots of nuclear fission plants and allowing some of the advancements in that sector to successfully become commercially operational would do a ton to prevent anything like this from ever happening again.
Yeah. Now, nuclear fission is kind of something that came out of the war years, right? I mean, in fact, I lived in near Batavia, Illinois. They have a big, what do they call that? They work with nuclear fission there, or they had been. And it's a very, I guess it's dangerous, right? You have to be very careful with it. But what is the history of it? May I ask you that? Do you know anything about the history of it?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the developments of all this technology did come out of the Manhattan Project, you know. That was where a lot of this initial research, and we kind of learned to harness the power of the atom. But since then, you know, during especially, like, right after the war years. It was a very competitive producer of energy domestically. So nuclear fission plants were actually out-competing coal on cost up until the oil crisis in the 70s. And then kind of the regulation spun out of control and it became much less competitive. But, you know, as far as danger, you know, obviously there are concerns around high doses of radiation, but actually at very low doses, we haven't detected issues in civilian populations. So even take, for example, the most significant public disaster in the last two decades, Fukushima. That currently there's no estimated civilian deaths caused by the release of radioactive material during that meltdown. So, you know, we're over-indexed on those costs as opposed to the cost of higher energy prices, less reliable power, all of these things. And it's important with any of these things that we view it from a big picture cost-benefit analysis as opposed to kind of buying into the general fear narrative.
Did I hear you right that at one time the nuclear fission energy was cheaper than the sources that we're currently using, but it then became overregulated? Really?
Yeah. That's a key part of it. And essentially, right now, it's not. It's extremely difficult to invest in nuclear power. Nuclear fission as an asset because there are essentially regulations where the Nuclear Regulatory Commission can go to someone who, you know, even successfully goes through all the hoops to create a nuclear plant and then go to them at any point and say, hey, you actually need to do more to mitigate these extremely low doses of radiation that haven't hurt anyone. And if you're an investor, you look at that and basically, as the law regulation can be interpreted, it says, oh, if you have profits, we can turn them into costs, basically at executive fiat or regulatory fiat. So this makes it hard for this asset class to innovate. And I think there is a lot of technology out there that's essentially just waiting to be approved so that it can be deployed.
Yeah.
So potentially we have even more opportunities moving into the future if we can reduce those barriers and get them to a more appropriate level.
Yeah, and this is what they're saying even about our drilling now for, you know, for more oil. The overregulation, which doesn't make it cost efficient for these private energy companies, the way that they are making it so difficult for them to get, you know, to get additional, because we've got so much capacity in this country with our natural resources to do these things. It's so frustrating, you know, to see that. And
and it's just
go ahead. No.
I was just going to say it's so important for people to, you know, I think right now just reality's kind of fighting back. And we need these fossil fuels. We need access to energy and power. You know, of course, as I said, I'm a big proponent of nuclear fission. I think that for mitigating any risk of greenhouse gases, it's an important tool. But, you know, we need gas. We need oil. We're completely dependent on them. And that's, you know, the reality of our civilization. People can move things. You know, people should move things through innovation and technology, having better products, not by regulating their competitors. And I think we're kind of living and the cost of people over-regulating their competitors and trying to create a system that, you know, hurts everyone and benefits maybe a select few
right
people. Or
indeed, Grant. A real pleasure to have you on. Keep up your good work, would you? Thank you so very much for your time. Thank you for explaining this breakthrough as well.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. Cheers. Yes, indeed. Grant Deaver of FreeOp. I'm going to have to go look him up. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, Ben Carson, remember in the Trump administration, HUD? His name's removed from a Detroit high school. And even the students and the teachers, the administration, didn't want it to happen. We're going to find out why they did that. And it's a hot one.
back 7 inches from the midday sun. Well,
this is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, this is Steve Acara, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks on a Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us. We really, honestly do appreciate it. So we're looking at the stock market here, Ed. I must say, the last couple of days, the stock market's been going up. We're over 34,248. It's up about 140 right now. So that's pretty good news.
Well, yes, considering what's going on.
Yeah, considering.
Absolutely. I know there are those out there that seem to bring up on a weekly basis that, well, Trump said that when Biden takes office, the stock market is going to crash. And no. Well, if they check the stock market, it did. Do you remember during the pandemic? Because we can use an excuse too. It got down to 19,000.
Yeah, that's a...
And when Trump left office, it was at 26 or 28. I can't remember. It was one of those two. So all those gains had been lost. Yes, and they came back. But I just want to remind you, it did go down to 19.
Yeah.
In case anybody forgets that. They leave that out.
Right.
You know.
No question about it. No question about it. All right. So... retired neurosurgeon and former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson had his name removed from Benjamin Carson High School in Detroit. It's actually the Benjamin Carson High School of Science and Medicine. The Detroit School Board voted to change the name. And Ben Carson himself said that, you know, it's kind of sad. Very sad. We've reached the point where political ideology trumps the whole process of an educational institution. He says, and we're seeing this wokeness spreading throughout our community to the destruction of our community. He said, how does it do any good for us to demonize people with whom we disagree and to teach that to our children at a time when the math scores are down, the reading scores are down, academic performance is down? And here's a guy that came out of Detroit and really, you know, just by hard work, he became a great brain surgeon.
I remember, and then he ran for president, didn't he?
I think he did.
He did.
Yes,
and,
he did.
Then he joined. I always liked him.
Yeah.
I always liked him.
And they were going to take his name off
because,
the high
you know
school.
What? Because he wasn't a politician. He was
That's right.
A doctor, and he decided to get into politics.
Yeah, soft-spoken guy.
But what did he do so badly that they had to have him stripped from the...
Yeah, exactly. The Detroit School District said in a statement that community members had been, quote, expressing concerns regarding how, under emergency management, the school's name was changed. Let's see here. I'm trying to find out why in the heck they did that.
Okay, well, obviously... I hope it was more than one person that wrote an email that was offended by the name.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you do is, you, if it's a council, then you get them all in front of the public and have them explain it.
Yeah.
Instead of hiding behind press releases.
Right. Oh, so community members have been expressing concerns.
Community members.
Yeah, well, come on now. You know, community members. And yet... apparently, the administration of the school and the students themselves, they had a student poll And they both said they wanted to keep the name.
Well, what the heck do they know? What the heck do they know? They only go there and they go to school there and they only work there as teachers.
Terrible.
What the heck do they know?
It's really kind of
scary. It's ridiculous. I would throw that right back at them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen to this. Talk about really stupid. Cambridge Dictionary. You know, very prestigious dictionary, right? It's being criticized by conservatives for altering the definition of the words man and woman.
Oh, here we go.
They've altered it to include people who identify as a gender other than their biological sex, okay? The definition of woman, which previously represented the longstanding view on sex, now states that a woman is, quote, an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. What do they mean, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth? And, of course, it's similarly a man, an adult who lives and identifies as male, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. You want to be a woman tomorrow, Ed? You can be a woman if you feel different about it.
I'm waiting for somebody to declare themselves as non-human. and demand specific rights.
Can I be a Martian for a weekend?
Why not?
What the heck?
Why not claim from be from another planet and be non-human?
Yeah, if you just say what you want to be, right? This is really
God.
It's crazy. Obviously, there's pushback on this. We don't have to talk about it any further. But you know, this is we've gone into stupid land. Here is a new poll. This is USA Today in conjunction with Suffolk University. And they find that Republican support for Donald Trump and his presidential bid has really dropped. It says by 2-1, GOP-leaning voters now say they want Trump's policies, but they don't want Trump. While 31% want him to run, 61% prefer somebody else running as the Republican nominee. Now, they do have a name in mind. Two-thirds of those that are Republicans and those inclined to vote Republican want Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, to run for president. In fact, by double digit, 56% to 33%, they prefer DeSantis over Donald Trump. So it's all, of course, this is just one poll, but I wonder, what do you think, Ed? Do you think Trump?
I'm on the fence on that. I'm kind of there. I do want his policies. I everything that we went through in the last 4 years before Biden got in, everything was turning around. But then you say, well, you don't want his antics. But look at what they put him through. When you look at the other impeachments that never worked out.
The thing was that it's
constant harassment.
They waved a red flag in front of him. It's like waving it in front of a bull.
But
you know that he's going to respond, right?
I know, but Paul, how would you like to wake up every morning?
I agree with you.
And we talked about this. How many times woke up in the morning and asked the chief of staff, okay, what have I done last night? What am I accused of today?
No, I agree.
I mean, I don't know how
they
long you can take it.
They did.
Should it be, it's bogus women, the 29 women that are waiting to take them to court.
But you are saying, I feel the same. You're kind of on the fence because you say, yes, he's been treated as unfairly as any human being has ever been treated as president.
Well, I see.
But does he need to respond to every little thing?
But how much can you take, Paul? How much can you take? I'm kind of both sides on that.
But you might be able to do it with a little more finesse.
Maybe, yes.
You could have done it. Reagan got criticized.
Maybe he can do it better the second time around. I don't know. There's a great song about that. I don't know. But I don't know how much you can actually take before you blow your top.
I agree. So maybe DeSantis comes along. It's you know, Trump policies without the demeanor or something like that.
I mean, he's been out of office how long now? 18 months, is it? 19?
It's almost, let's see, January 21 to June. It's almost 2 years.
And left shows are still talking about him today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's announced that he's running.
Even before, it was the Mar-a-Lago thing. Nothing's come of that.
No.
Remember the whole Nancy Pelosi husband thing? Oh, it was a Trump supporter because he said, "Where's Nancy?" No, we've heard nothing from that.
No. No, you're right. In the meantime, Biden's numbers haven't gone up. They remain rather stagnant since October. This is the same poll, by the way, USA Today, Suffolk University. Since October, Biden's favorables have gone up one percentage point, but that's only 46%. His unfavorables are at 50%. Support among Democrats for him to run again, declining from 40% to 40% from 45%. Among all voters, only 23% want him to run again.
Well, I can tell you, those people that may have fallen off the wagon a bit, sure as hell not jumping on Joe Biden's bandwagon.
Right. Right. Anybody that falls off the Trump bandwagon wouldn't vote for Joe Biden anyway.
No. And even if it does come down to it's Trump or nobody, it has to be Trump.
Yeah.
You can't have another 4 years of this, and God forbid whoever they try to put in next.
Hey, by the way, a little bit off the subject, but... AOC had a documentary film, and they actually tried to run it in theaters. Did you hear about that? It bombed.
I'm so surprised.
Can you imagine anybody wanting to spend any money to go see Alexandria, Ocasio,
I have to admit,
Cortez? Nobody did.
I have to admit, I might.
Oh, come on. Would you spend that money?
I might if it was a different kind of theater.
All right.
I mean, she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Yes, AOC bears all in this political documentary.
I'd sign.
Okay. Well, apparently that wasn't what she was doing in this one because nobody showed up. And it's a bomb. So that's all I want to say about that. Let's see here. We got all these little things going on. I'm kind of doing some cleanup work on some things. You know how when you're preparing for a show, you have all these little stories, and you never get to them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you just keep them in case you need that.
We call those backups. Yeah.
Backup stories. Yeah. So I got some backup stories here that might be of some interest. Did you know that Americans who made money online this year could be in for a potential shock when they file their taxes? Because beginning next year, taxpayers have to report to the IRS at least $600 that are received through things like PayPal. Let's say you do a little online, what do you want to call it?
Gambling. Let's you have to pay for that anyway.
You use PayPal to pay back and forth, okay? You're going to pay Joe Blow. Joe Blow won. So you're going to send him a check for $250, right? Because he won. That kind of thing.
Well,
If you're using apps like PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, they're going to now catch it and start to make you pay some tax on it.
Well, I use PayPal, but things that I buy are usually taxed.
Correct.
Okay, I'm not sending money to anybody. I don't know anybody to send money to.
Right. But you're going to have to report certain transactions. In an explainer, the IRS warned small business owners about this $600 threshold. Third-party payment processors will now be required to report business transactions to the IRS. Okay, so maybe it's more for businesses than personal, but business transactions to the IRS if they exceed $600 for the year. So anyway. Just wanted to bring that little thing up. All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we are going to give you the top 10 cities that people are moving to these days.
Yes, sir!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Tune in Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. That's 2 hours of great gospel music every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., all brought to you by the Ozona Pig Restaurant in Ozona. Yes, that's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. It's Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. Tune in on the Tantalk Radio Network. You got to be safe. You got to be
safe. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, final segment. Thank you so much for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. We're very appreciative of that. Hope you're able to listen to us. However, we know you're busy, especially these days. So if you can't listen live, Big Ed's put all our shows on a tape process on podcasts. So all you have to do is go to our website and click on the podcast button, and it opens up, and you see all the shows, most recent show at the top. It'll show you who the guest is and what our top 10 is, the whole bit. You go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, Ed, I just started reading about these. You heard about this, of course. We've been talking, and everybody's been talking about FTX and this little punk that was running it, right? Okay, so now the Democrats have been silent. A lot of Democrats got a lot of money from him. They've been rather and they've been rather silent on getting that money back
and
returning it.
Here's the thing. They were going to bring him, I think, next week before the committee. And ask him all these questions.
He was supposed to, I think, go online. He was supposed to go before them today or yesterday.
They wanted to get him under oath and ask him all these questions. And all of a sudden, the Bahamian police, is that Bahamas police?
Bahamian.
Police have arrested him. And gave him a bail because
they threw him in the clink, a
flight risk. But here's the difference: they want to be paid first. They're owed about $300 million, I think it is, and they've got property.
He's
got property.
The government of the
Bahamas. They want their property back, and they want about $300 million before they release him.
Where are they going to get the $300 million?
I don't know.
He spent it. He got rid of it.
But here's the thing. Now, all of a sudden, now it keeps... And who was first to come out and say, oh, it's a good thing we got him in, is Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
Is the first one that comes out and says, a Democrat, of course, comes out and says, oh, it's so good that we've caught him down there.
Yeah.
He wasn't going anywhere.
She's breathing a sigh of relief.
He wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere.
Here's the deal. Two of the biggest beneficiaries of this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried is his name. The group is FTX. Two of the biggest Dem beneficiaries reportedly will not say whether they plan to return the donations. The House Majority PAC and the Senate Majority PAC together got $7 million from this guy over the past 2 years, according to the Washington Post. And neither PAC says whether they plan to send the money back or to return any of the donations or to give it to charity or something like that. Now, maybe they will. Maybe they'll be forced into it. But, some of these. And he gave to about 19 Democrats and about 6 Republicans, apparently.
Now, he gave money. Think about the people that invested money, too.
Oh, absolutely.
The Tom Brady's, the Shaquille O'Neal's, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. $15 million, I believe, he put into that.
I don't feel so bad for those people. They got lots of money. But I feel bad for others that got wiped out because they put so much into them.
Sure. And that doesn't name all the small businesses or whatever.
So Maxine Waters of California, like you said, as our buddy used to call her, Aunt Esther, probably breathing a sigh of relief.
Big mouth.
Yeah. Here's the deal. They're trying to, it looks like, by grabbing him like they did and sending him our way, they are trying to keep him from, he would have been testifying, you know, obviously remotely from the Bahamas. They would have asked him all kinds of questions, and anything he was answering would have been under oath. So they could have used the prosecutors could have used whatever he said.
For building a case against him,
building a case. So now they shut that down.
Yes, that was the whole...
That's why a lot of people are going, aha, I smell a rat. He would sing and start naming names of people that he sent money to, and these people in Washington don't want it publicized. They don't want people to know. So that's what's going on with that, don't you think?
Sneaky.
Very sneaky. Very sneaky. All right, Ed, before we get into our top 10, we have a good top 10, by the way. I'm looking forward to this one. I was watching our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning last night. They were playing the Seattle Kraken. First of all, I want to know if you understand. Do you know what a Kraken is?
I don't.
Oh.
But people like the name. They like Kraken.
It is. It's a mythological three-headed dragon.
Okay.
That's what a Kraken is, all right? So the next time somebody says, do you have a Kraken for a pet? You'll say, no, I can't afford to feed three mouths.
I didn't realize the game was on until, for some reason, I took a nap early or late, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And I didn't tune in until there was like 3 minutes left in the last period, and it was 6-1.
So yeah,
I figured, well, they've got this. I can turn it on.
They scored two goals within the first few minutes of the first period, as a matter of fact. They got up early on the Seattle Kraken.
And I heard that people were booing Braden Point there for a while.
Like, I didn't
for the first,
know whether or not that
first
happened.
Two quarters or something like that, or first two periods.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if they were booing Braden Point.
And then
that
all of a sudden,
would not make sense.
Well, they got three goals in 3 minutes.
They scored very quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's what the rag said this morning. Anyway,
there was a lot of fighting in this game too, but they did. They won rather handily. They're doing quite well, so now we've got, I guess, the only thing, we don't have a basketball team in Tampa Bay, so I guess we don't root for any basketball team here, but we do have a football team, and they got kind of trashed. We know about that. And I'm talking with some friends. We were watching over at our little sports bar. We were watching the hockey game. And we were talking about what must be on the mind of Tom Brady. Is his divorce playing tricks with his mind? But I think he's actually not. It's not him.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's over with. I mean, I don't know.
You don't blame him for the way...
Not entirely. He's had a couple of bad throws, but
yeah,
everybody
of course,
does. He's not perfect. Come on.
Exactly.
He's not 25 either.
So my point is...
I just think the rest of the team is not playing up to...
That's what I was going to say.
I'm not sure they're buying into this whole
Maybe we. They just
deal.
Don't. They just don't have the talent to do it.
I think
it.
The talent is there. I'm not sure the talent's playing to their level. The rest of them.
Okay.
And there's some big problems on the offensive line, too. Let's not go without that. But the defense is laying down. Horrible.
Okay. All right, fair enough. All right, Ed. Thank you. It is time for our top 10. And this comes from Redfin Real Estate Brokerage. I guess they're a big real estate brokerage firm. They have come up with most recent top 10 cities that people have been moving to. It's actually this year. And they took a kind of a moment in time, like several months. So this is like quite recent in terms of where they want to go. Ready? Here we go. Number 10. Orlando, Florida. Well, that's not surprising. Orlando's always been a big place that people
growing,
might want to go
it's
to.
Growing.
Growing, growing,
areas
growing.
Around Orlando,
yeah.
Like Tampa.
And it's got, by the way, it's got, the Village is not far away where all those people after a certain age can go and live and all those communities.
Well, I have to tell you a story about that when we're off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're known for some wild times.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're known for. Number 9. Number nine city is Dallas. Not surprising. Okay. Texas is a big draw these days, actually. I think more people are moving into Texas than into Florida.
Yeah, a lot of them illegal.
Well, that's true, too. Number eight, Sarasota, Florida. Again, we're not surprised, are we? Sarasota's always been a place that people want to move. Of course, they kind of got close to that Hurricane Ian, although they didn't get a direct hit, did they?
No.
Okay. Number seven, Cape Coral, Florida. I'm not even sure I know where it is. Cape Coral, Florida. Do you know where it is? Is it on the East Coast?
I believe it's the West Coast, okay. Down around Fort Myers area, somewhere around there. Cape Coral, I believe.
Fort Myers. All right. Number six, Phoenix, Arizona.
Ugh.
You got to like, what is it? Rattlesnakes, scorpions, sand, and heat.
Yeah.
And maybe the additional cactus.
And no rain.
And very little rain. Okay. Actually, there are parts of Arizona that are nice, but Phoenix, I don't know. Number five, right here, Tampa.
Mm.
Tampa, Florida. Not surprising. Lots of people moving into Tampa. Number four. You know, none of these are surprising. San Diego, it's always been a big place. These are all sun places.
I'm surprised because that's California.
Yeah, but San Diego apparently is still doing okay. Not in San Francisco and L.A. They're moving out there. Mm. But apparently San Diego, they are moving in. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a little bit lower, I don't know, lower energy place. Number three, Miami. Now, I thought for a while Miami was not a place people wanted to move into. Because you were hearing about crime and everything else, you know. But it's third.
Well, if you look at the last voting there, how about the switch from being a Democratic to Republican?
Yeah, a lot of Cubans there, a lot of...
And it's probably not right in Miami. It's the outskirts of Miami,
too. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's probably the outskirts,
people
right.
Moving around in that area.
All right, number two. Las Vegas. It's kind of like Phoenix, isn't it? Of course, if you like the nightlife and gambling, but you know what? If you moved to Las Vegas, you would never go down there, hardly ever. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I would like to see Las Vegas once just for the lights, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. You'll go once or twice, and then after that, you're not going to
get my free T-shirt and leave.
There you go. All right, I don't think you're going to get this one because it's a city. It's very hard. You want to take a gander at what the number one city?
I'll go with... How about in Tennessee somewhere? Chattanooga or something? Nashville. How about Nashville?
I think that's a good guess, but it's a wrong guess.
You know.
It's Sacramento, California.
Ugh.
Now, that's the capital of the state.
You know.
It's not far from, not terribly far from San Francisco, but far enough. You know, far enough. So, interestingly, two of the places... We're in California, and everybody talks about how people are moving out of California.
And what, three were in Florida?
We had
Tampa would be higher.
We had five.
Yeah.
Five of the 10 were in Florida.
I thought Tampa would be higher.
Fifth is pretty good. All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Friday. Be careful out there. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. A storm with blizzard conditions is blasting the upper Midwest and plains. David Olson is with the Sheriff's Department in western South Dakota.